Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ash Bros Podcast, episode 18. So excited to be with you guys here. I'm Todd, here with Peter, and we apologize. Last couple of weeks, we've obviously been off, and we haven't had an episode come out, but we're back, and we're excited for this episode, for episode 18. So, Peter, how are you doing right now, man?
Great, man. Doing fine and well. I know it's been a little bit of a while. We've been kind of busy, so sorry, guys, but yeah, we're back to talk some football. Pretty eventful week this past week with the trade deadline. So, let's get into that.
Yeah, like you mentioned, it's NFL trade deadline just passed on this Tuesday as this recording. And there's a lot of impactful trades that went down. We saw some wide receivers getting traded, like Jacoby Myers getting traded from the Raiders to the Jaguars. Rashid Shaheed getting traded from the Saints to the Seahawks. But we're going to talk about, at least, I think, two of the biggest trades that went down during the trade deadline. So yesterday, as of this recording, two blockbuster trades went down in the NFL as the New York Jets traded away all-pro cornerback Sauce Gardner to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for two first-round picks and wide receiver Adonai Mitchell. And then they also proceeded to trade all-pro defensive tackle Quinnen Williams to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a 2026 second-round pick, a 2027 first-round pick, and defensive tackle Mazi Smith. Looking at this, I guess we can look at the Sauce Gardner trade first. Interesting enough, like, they just signed to a contract extension a few months ago, 4 years, $120 million. Colts are not going to be paying that much of Gardner's contract for this year. Only, I believe, $1 million or so, $1 million and whatnot. But what do you think about this trade, Peter?
The Colts are clearly going all in, right? Again, I guess what we're all seeing. They got off to an incredibly hard start. Obviously, he took a tough loss to the Steelers this past week, but they've been playing pretty good football, especially on the offensive end. Danny Jones has kind of found his groove in the system that they're running. Jonathan Taylor looks like himself again. As long as he's staying healthy, he's been pretty good. Their offensive line has probably been the biggest. I know people talk about Daniel Jones, but that offensive line has been fantastic, and they've probably been the biggest surprise of the group, especially because they lost two starters. We all thought, oh, maybe it wouldn't be as great, but they've been remarkable. Again, they're playing good football. So, again, when you have a chance to win, I get going all in and doing what you have to do to take a chance. This is tough, though, man. Like, I don't hate Sauce Gardner. He's a pretty good corner. I don't think he's an all-pro corner. Like, I know he has the all-pro title because he's gotten it before.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that good anymore. I think, again, the NFL's cracked down a lot on his holding penalties and defensive pass interference penalties, which is big about him. I saw Dan Orlovsky the other day say that over the last 2 years, he's been in the top, like, five or six in both holding or defensive holding and defensive passing interference penalties, which is kind of alarming, considering that people are saying, again, this is all pro, we're throwing out all pro out there. Those aren't all pro things to do. And again, the ice test will tell you that too with Sauce Gardner. As good as he is, he does like to hold a lot and tug. Now, again, is he very good and is he more than capable of guarding these number one receivers? For sure. But giving away two first round picks for a guy who might not be two first round picks worthy, it's tough. Because if he goes for two first round picks, what does a guy like Surtain go for? Right, think about it. Micah went for two first-round picks, and people are complaining about him, saying he's not doing enough. He's not the sacks, but he's one of the top guys in pressures. He's definitely helped Rashawn Gary get his 7.5, and he's a top-5 guy right now. So, again, if we're saying Micah's worth two first-round picks and some of the other players are worth a ton of picks, I don't know if to say Sauce is worth that much either. We'll see. Again, they're going all in. Their secondary comes a lot better now, and they're already a really good secondary as it is. So I do like the move in that sense, but very, very interesting stuff for the Colts. We'll see if it pays off. Obviously, they're going to be in contention, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you mentioned their secondary, too. Fully healthy, I think their secondary, like, in their eyes, will look like Sauce Gardner at number one corner, Tre'Davious Ward at number two, which I think is pretty good, and then Kenny Moore in the slot. Which I think is, honestly, like, at their highest, that could be one of the best cornerback trios in the NFL. But like you mentioned, Sauce has definitely struggled, especially over the last two seasons. His first 2 years, his rookie year especially, was really good. And even his second year was great. But last year, especially after the Jets fired Robert Saleh, his play really started to decline. And this year, we've been seeing, Aaron Glenn, the new head coach, using him a lot in, like, man-to-man situations. And hasn't really worked out as well, that well. But I do think with Lou Amarillo, he's been a really good defensive coordinator for a long time now. And this is the best cornerback that he's going to have maybe ever in terms of talent-wise. And I feel like, you know, I'm Amendola, he likes to play a lot of zone coverage and whatnot. And I think that's going to help Sauce more, kind of hopefully eliminate some of those grabby penalties that you mentioned that he definitely struggles with sometimes. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this is a win trade for the Colts. And I also think this is a good trade for the Jets, too. You know, Sauce is obviously 25 years old. It's tough to trade a young cornerstone player like that. But I don't really, you know, the Jets really have that much of a choice, you know, looking at where they're at right now. And, you know, obviously this is a new regime, too. It's not the same regime that drafted Sauce Gardner in the first place. So it kind of makes sense why they decided to move on. But I do think it'll be a win-win trade for both sides. Now let's talk about this second trade that the Jets made on Tuesday. Quinnen Williams, one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Jets traded him to the Cowboys. We mentioned those two picks. That 2027 first-round pick could actually be the Packers pick, because you mentioned the Cowboys got that pick from the Packers in the Micah Parsons trade. But Williams is, you know, he's long been one of the best defensive tackles in the league. The Jets drafted him with the third pick in the 2019 draft, and he has 40 sacks in his career, fifth most among defensive tackles since 2019, since he came into the NFL. He's also had a pretty good year so far, at least in terms of stopping the run, with a 9.5 run-stop percentage, which leads the NFL. However, he hasn't been the most impactful in terms of rushing the passer so far this year. He has one sack, which actually came on the very first play of the season for the Jets, and he sacked Aaron Rodgers in week one against the Steelers. But I don't know, Peter, what do you think about the Cowboys getting Quinnen Williams?
I actually think it's a really good move for the Cowboys. And, like, again, I think a lot of people are writing, oh, you need pass rushers, you need edge rushers and everything like that. Considering the value they got him at, the Quinnen Williams to me is more of an all-pro. And talk about the all-pro caliber name, he's more of an all-pro. I know he only has one sack, but again, I think a lot of that's a product of the Jets just overall kind of getting tossed around the field by no matter who they basically have played this year. And if not on the offensive end, the defensive end as well, again, I think just being on the field a ton and kind of having to stop the run when the run defense hasn't been great. I think a lot of the things equate to that. Quinnen Williams is a dang good player. He can kind of line him up anywhere, to be honest. He's a defense tackle who can play nose tackle. He can play three technique. He can go wide. Like, he is very good at kind of doing everything. And so I like to move a lot for the Cowboys personally. I think, again, 28 years old, D tackles usually last longer than corners. And I think this is a guy who can be good for another 4, 5, 6 years. I think he's that good of a player. The Jets, again, like in terms of their side, because I didn't really get into that too much with the Sauce Gardner stuff, I think, like you said, it was the right move for them to kind of start parting ways. I know people were saying, well, why are you doing that? It can kill the morale of the team. The morale of the team was newsflash, guys. It was already gone.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. Aaron Glenn yelling on the sideline, getting mad at players. Sauce Gardner leaving the field early in that London game with Will McDonald. Like, all the things you were seeing, it's like it was basically already gone. The Justin Fields stuff. They had to do something. The one thing I didn't like was the Breece Hall, not getting rid of Breece Hall. I think they should have probably did right by him in doing that. If they're going to keep him, hopefully maybe they sign him to a deal and go from there. But I play the Chiefs offer like a fourth round pick. If you're the Chiefs, what are you doing? Like, you should have easily offered a third for this guy. All they apparently wanted was a third. And that's, you couldn't measle up a third. Your running backs aren't good. I know people are saying the Chiefs, so they get it done. Kareem Hunt gets it done with this guy. I know we're going off topic a little here, but that's a third. Not going for a third is crazy. But anyways, overall, in terms of the Jets doing what they did, again, I think it's pretty solid moves. Now the question now here is, can you hit on these draft picks, right? And can you move forward and keep the morale intact? You got rid of two of your biggest, arguably best players, period, on your team. Now you got to try to, like, you know, push your money where your mouth is and change the culture of the team like Aaron Glenn wants to do. He's going to have to do it pretty quickly because the fans over there, you know how it is in New York. This is unprecedented stuff. So,
yeah,
it's going to be a lot on him.
Yeah, I mentioned, like, that the other first-round pick that they got. The Jets do have the right to the better of the Cowboys' two first-round picks, so either the Cowboys' own pick or the Packers' pick. So let's say, just hypothetically, next season, 2026, let's say the Packers are a good team in the NFC and they make the playoffs and, you know, make it to the division round or NFC Championship game or Super Bowl. But then the Cowboys suffer a losing season. Now, if you're the Jets, you can move up maybe even, like, 20 picks just with that, you know, and get another high pick. So I don't know. I feel like I think it's a good trade for the Cowboys. You get a player like that, and Quinnen Williams is really good. However, I do kind of wonder, like, in terms of playing him and Osa Edigazua, who's also really good, and Kenny Clark, it's like three defensive tackles together. How's that going to look on the field? I think they can make it work, but it just takes some adjusting there. And I don't know. I feel like at the same time, like, you did trade those picks for Quinnen Williams, but And yes, he's making less money than Micah Parsons, but it's like you could have theoretically hanged on to Parsons and not, you know, I don't know. That's just my opinion there, but I don't know. I think it's a, again, kind of like the Sauce Gardner trade. I would say it's a win-win, honestly, for both sides. And we'll just have to see, I guess, who maybe gets upper hand in the coming years. But right now, I would say it's more of a win-win trade. Next, I want to get into kind of an interesting segment here. Obviously, we're at week 10 of the regular season here, and been a lot of crazy, crazy games so far this season. A lot of comebacks, a lot of teams. You know, one week you're like, oh, this team's going to the Super Bowl. The next week they lose to, I don't know, the Cleveland Browns, right? So, yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of, like, who's going to actually, like, make a deep playoff run this year in the NFC and AFC. But with that being said, yeah, we're just kind of going to talk about who are our best team, just number one team right now in each respective conference. So, for me, we're going to start off in the AFC here. For me, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. This is a tough decision, but I'm going to go with Buffalo, man. I mean, they're 6-2 right now. They're second in the AFC East, obviously, you know, behind the Patriots, who have been amazing this year. And the Patriots did beat the Bills early on in the season. But I don't know. I think the Bills, you know, they have a lot of injuries right now in defense. But that offense with Josh Allen, James Cook, I feel like just it's really hard to stop those guys, especially when they're running the ball with James Cook. And then Josh Allen's able to do what Josh Allen does as well. I would have liked to see them make a move at the trade deadline on defense. I feel like that would have been really helpful for them, and it could come back to, you know, could come back to haunt them in the playoffs, especially, you know, they run into Patrick Mahomes again or, you know, something like that. But I do like Josh Allen a lot, obviously, and I really think that potentially, you know, this is arguably the most wide open the AFC's been in a long time. This could be Buffalo's year to finally make it back to the Super Bowl since 1993. So I'm gonna go with the Bills.
I like the Bills, man. Like, they've been playing really good football. The AFC is, I think, much tougher than the NFC, as I guess, in terms of, like, what I think and what maybe what you even think is the best team in the conferences so far. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos, man. They're 7-2. They've won 6 in a row. The hottest team in the league other than the Patriots, who also won 6 in a row. Again, they haven't won a lot of games in dominant fashion, but they're taking care of business, and I think, most importantly, they found way to win, like, multiple games. You can point to last week's game. Obviously, they didn't play well against the Texans. CJ Stroud was out. Not a game, like, I'm not saying they should have necessarily not, like, lost that game, how they should have won it easily, but in a game where they just didn't have maybe their A game or they kind of just were slacking, they found a way to gut it out and get the job done against a tough defense, because the defense was healthy. We'll say that. The Giants game was a big one, right? It was the Demaryius Thomas tribute night, all right, retiring his number two. And the way that game started, they were kind of off. Again, the offense kind of being up and down. Not too great, but they found a way to kind of come back and get into that game. And I know the Giants kind of can't let them stay in it, but it showed a lot of heart from them. And then the Jets game, again, we can keep going through all these games. The Eagles game as well, when they made a huge comeback against the Eagles in Philadelphia. And it seems like their luck has turned around from last year. I remember last year, I can't get the exact stat, but last year in these one-score games or these close games, they kept losing over and over and over again. It felt like they couldn't catch a break. And it seemed like early in the season, there was going to be the same kind of pattern, right? The Colts game and the Chargers games. Two games where they probably, I would argue, should have won instead of compared to these games even. And they found a way to just lose those games. And it's like, damn, like, you got so close and you lost. So kudos to them for doing that. And stats-wise, again, they're 13th in total offense, 3rd in total defense. That defense is crazy. Even without Pat Surtain, they've been pretty dang good. Their overall pass rush is arguably the best in football, probably the best, to be honest. They have 40 sacks. NFL record 72 by the 85 Bears. At one point, they were looking like they were going to break that. I don't think they're going to get too close to that now. But if they get around 60-something, it's still a remarkable season overall. I mean, they can just fly to the ball. Nick Benito, Defensive Player of the Year candidate. You got guys all over the ball. Zach Allen's a beast, right? Riley Moss has had a really big bounce back year. I know last year people were talking about him as an up-and-coming guy, but he did have his moments where he was bad. This year, he's looking like a real number two corner. They got a lot of stuff. Huafonga looking like himself again, like, just a lot of things you can put in the equation. The biggest thing, obviously, for them is going to be, can Bo Nix make these throws? And can you stop having these bad mental lapses early in the game where the offense looks bad to the point where they're struggling? They got a big game tomorrow, on Thursday against the Raiders. Now we'll see if they can get the job done in that one, obviously. The time is recording, we'll see what happens with how that game goes. But if they can get that job done, they'll be 8-2, and they're looking pretty cozy, man, going up. There's a couple of games that get tough for them, but yeah, I like them a lot.
Yeah, I like the Broncos too, for sure. I mean, One interesting stat I saw from them, though, is that their point differential right now is plus 59, which is really good. But the point differential in the first half is minus one. And then the second half, it's plus 60.
That's what I'm saying.
Like you mentioned, yeah. Like kind of the slow starts on offense.
It's offense, yeah, really. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what they gotta work on that. But other than that, like they don't really have like much weaknesses. The defense, like you mentioned, is really, really good. Probably the best in the NFL, honestly. And then Bo Nix is, I feel like he's taken a step, at least from his rookie year so far in some ways. But yeah, it's going to really be on that offense for sure. I guess now going to the NFC side. For me, you know, as much as I love to say the Packers, I can't, you know, you know, dropping games like that to the Panthers and the Browns. The Panthers are not bad, you know.
Don't we know the Panthers?
5-4 Panthers, you know. Shout out to Bryce Young. And those guys there are looking pretty decent.
Shout out to Bryce Young, 85 passing yards, whatever he had. 90 passing yards.
Rico Dowdle, yeah. Adrian Peterson 2.0, like I mentioned before. But, yeah, I got to go with the Rams, man. I think the LA Rams right now, they're going to be my top team, you know, in the NFC. The first in the NFC West were a tie for first with the Seahawks, but they currently have a tiebreaker over Seattle. The Rams are a really good team, man. I mean, they've lost two games this year, and both of those games, they've lost by a combined 10 points to two pretty good teams, the 6-2 Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, and then a very scrappy 6-3 San Francisco 49ers team, a team that the Rams will play this Sunday, you know, which should be a good one there. But yeah, I think the Rams are a really good team. Matthew Stafford, 21 touchdown passes throughout 8 games this year. He's looking like one of the top MVP candidates for sure. They can run the ball well with Kyren Williams, who's a good running back, as we all know. And then you have Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, arguably the best wide receiver duo in the league right now. And then defensively, they've been very, very stout defensively. They currently rank second in the NFL in points allowed. And, you know, the defensive line is really good, a very stacked defensive line there. Byron Young's playing like a Pro Bowler this year. He's been great. We all know about Jared Verse as well. And then Kobe Turner, Braden Fish. This is very, very deep defensive line. So I don't know. I think the Rams are really good. I did think about putting the Eagles here as well, defending Super Bowl champs. And they played pretty good the last 2 weeks. And they made some nice moves at the trade deadline as well. They got Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins, which I think was a good move for Philadelphia's pass rush. But yeah, I got to take the Rams just slightly over the Eagles right now.
I'm with you too, man. The NFC, I also have the Rams as my number one team. And again, it's for a lot of the same reasons. They're getting the job done, especially Matthew Stafford's resurgence. I think it can't be really swayed enough how impressive he is playing right now and the level that he's doing it at. I mean, like coming into the season, I avoided as many Rams players as I could in my fantasy leagues. I said, if there's things that he's an epidural, like for his back, and if you look at last year, I kept saying this to you before, but if you look at the season before, the reason why I wasn't so big on the Rams, heading into like near the playoffs, he looked really bad. I don't know if he was just hurt or what, but he didn't look good at all. And then the playoffs came and he had a week of rest. Playoffs comes and he looks good. He starts throwing the ball over the place. I'm like, okay, this guy gets a little bit of rest. He can stay healthy. He can still sling it. He's pretty good. But the key is, again, if you come into the season, we're thinking this guy's banged up. We don't know how bad it is. I mean, Sean McVay and the guys, I guess clearly they knew what they were doing, tricking people, because he looks pretty dang good to me. People are saying he's cloned and stuff, how good he's playing. I mean, you mentioned the stats, but just everything that he's doing in general, 37 years old, we know his injury history. He's definitely still probably banged up, and he's doing this. I mean, it's really impressive. I really want to give him a shout out and say he's my MVP right now. I know we talk about Mahomes and Allen and all these other players. I get that they're mentioned so many different times with other guys. People saying Drake May too. Shout out to him. He should get some more credit as well. But Matthew Stafford right now is my MVP. He's playing out of his mind. That throw he had two throws against the Saints last week that were, I think they're the best in the league right now, and it's going to take someone impressive to beat them. That no-look he had to Devontae for almost 30 yards. I've never seen that before in my life. I've seen no-looks, but like to throw it down the field and basically no-look it, one, he's disrespecting your defense. But two, to just make that throw still, the skill and talent to have that, he is ridiculous, man. He gets time. He can dissect you. It's just not too much I can say other than the guy's the MVP right now. And as long as he's playing at that level, I mean, they're going to go very, very far in the NFL. The key thing, too, now is their defense. I know they've been looking pretty good, and the stats are fine right now. Their D-line hasn't been as good as last year. It's still been pretty decent. But they're going to have to continuously be good for them. I think my only concern with this team is their secondary overall. Again, they made a move for Roger McCurry from the Titans. I think they got him a steal, like a fifth-round pick or something like that they got for him. So good on that. Good on them for doing that. But I still think the secondary is kind of a weakness. And I do think against the wrong team at the wrong time, it could be a detriment, like a problem that's detrimental to the team eventually. But overall, man, I mean, just you can't stress enough what they're doing right now. They really only have a couple of losses because of basically extra points and kicks. Joshua Cardi basically selling games two times is the only reason why they more or less aren't undefeated. So, yeah, I like the Rams pick, man.
Yeah, I mean, and the playoffs did start today. The Rams would travel to Lambeau in the wild card round of the playoffs.
There
goes our season. Yeah. Jeez, though, you know, LaFleur does have good history against McVay.
There goes the season, brother. Oh, man. I mean, I'm not going to put myself through false hope, man. As of now, I can't do it.
One thing I will say, I think there's another team right now. They're second in the NFC. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think this is a team that they're 6-2, and they've dealt with so many injuries, especially on offense, to the offensive line, the wide receivers. And, yeah, Mike Evans probably won't be back until the playoffs if he even gets back. But a lot of guys are injured. I think they can just, like, get some of those guys healthy. And the way Baker Mayfield has played this season, I think they're going to be a very tough out in the NFC. I can definitely see them making a deep playoff run for sure.
I'm with you, but, like, so here's the thing. And my only concern for them is that they do have some tough – I mean, it's not super tough on the way. I guess the only two big games they have coming up are the Pats, which is this coming week, and then the Bills right after. All right, so I guess the next three games, the Patriots, Bills, and Rams. Those are tough, tough games.
Yeah.
If they can go, like, 1-3 between those games, they'll be in a good spot. But if they go 0-3, it could be a little tricky. Because after that, they got the Cardinals. So, okay, that's, again, Jacoby Brissett Cardinals is very, very different than the Kyler Murray Cardinals. That's what I'll say right now. The Saints, who I think that's a win. You play the Falcons, it's literally flipping a coin with the Falcons. You don't know where you're going to get. They're just as unpredictable as us at this point. The Panthers, who are, like, they're officially frisky. They are a frisky, dangerous team.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's going to happen with them. Again, another team that you flip a coin against. The Dolphins, who they should beat, but you never know. And then the Panthers again. So it's not the easiest schedule down the stretch. And again, like we just talked about it. We didn't mention it, but Bucky Irving didn't practice today. And apparently he's progressing closer, but he hasn't even really got clear for contact yet. And Chris Godwin hasn't practiced either. And he didn't look good at all before that injury or re-injuring his fibula. So no Mike Evans. Talk about those two being out. I like Tez Johnson. I like the other Johnson. I like Ibuka, but Ibuka is also dealing with a hamstring. And again, he's playing through it. There's no way he's 100%. They played him like a week after he hurt his hamstring. And like the bye was huge, but I don't think he's 100% still after 1 week. Usually hamstrings, minimum, even at worst, are 2 or 3 week injury. Like, it's just not something you play through right away. And he's trying to do that. I like them, but they're so banged up to the point where I don't know. It's going to take like some kind of fountain of like basically more or less healing to get them back on track. So I don't hate them. It's just too many injuries going on over there for me to like confidently say they'll do something.
And then just lastly, this is one last team in the NFC that I kind of want to touch on. It's a team that the Buccaneers lost to actually in the playoffs last year, the Washington Commanders. 3-6 on the season. This has not been the season that, you know, they were obviously hoping to have after last season's surprise run to the NFC Championship game. And now the superstar quarterback in Jaden Daniels, you know, is probably out for the season after suffering a nasty, you know, dislocated elbow injury. This is just really tough for the Commanders, especially after the year they had and for their fans. I'm curious, Peter, about you. What do you think about this team just, like, moving forward? I guess not even just for, like, this season, but just, like, afterwards.
I think Adam Peters' job should be on the line.
Ooh.
100%, I think his job should be on the line. I think they should really reconsider everything with him. You can talk about Jaden Daniels and some of the things he's done and the good things, and he's tried to make a couple moves, but I think it's almost borderline malpractice what he's done, what he and Dan Quinn did to this team this year. You can talk about the injuries and how banged up they've been. You and I both said during our predictions of the season and where we had them kind of going. I know you had the Commanders not doing very well this year and as a regression candidate, but you had them as a regression candidate because they didn't really do anything. And that's why I'm upset. It's so, okay, cool. You draft the tackle. Great. The tackle's, he's playing at a decent level. It's fine. You're working with that. You trade for Laremy Tunsil, who was pretty, like, I don't say bad, but not good last year. You trade for him, and he hasn't really been all that's left to be. He's also older and aging, so cool. You think that's going to work? Not necessarily going to help you that much, but all right, fine. You add him to the already kind of aging offensive line, if you will. Fine, that's cool. Jaden Daniels, as good as he is, this is the worry. Cliff Kingsbury in his first year with Kyler Murray, dynamic, looked great. It was a bunch of fun. We're all like, here we go, looks great. Jaden Daniels with his first year with Kyler Murray. I mean, with Cliff Kingsbury. Looks pretty good. Dynamic. NFC Championship. Looks pretty good. Now, the second year, they go, we're going to just keep the same weapons and add Deebo Samuel and see if that works out. Unfortunately, that's not what you do. They needed a running back. They didn't go after really any running backs. They drafted a guy named Bill that we all have been going crazy about. And I'm not trying to be, that goes by Bill, sorry. And I'm not trying to be too disrespectful. I'm just saying, you drafted, you were talking about like a fourth, fifth round pick. Like he's, you know what I'm saying? Like sliced bread. This can't be the case. Like we can't be looking, that's what you're looking forward to the most, a fourth, fifth round pick. You gotta, and again, they didn't prioritize the right moves. They didn't sign McLaurin early. They played games with that. It's Adam Peters thing. Again, not wanting to do that, got him out of rhythm. Now he's hurt. Right? Deebo Samuel's the guy you signed. He's on a number one. He's brilliant number two, in my opinion. And you were saying the same thing, basically. So now you're left with basically more or less a lot of guys who are just basically late draft round picks, rookies. Luke McCaffrey is like not, again, he's like a third wide receiver. It's like, it's just tough. Jaden has to make a bunch of these plays by himself. And now you're in a tough position. The defense has always also been not very good last year. They were turnover happy. They were basically living and dying by turnovers and making plays happen. And unfortunately, man, this is what you get, man. Like, guys make too many plays, guys get hurt, and now the team's not that good. And to be honest with you, on paper, they're just not that good of a team. And now we're kind of seeing, again, what the problem is with that. I thought they were going to be obviously better than this, but like I said, I think Adam Peters' job, I think if I'm the organization here, I'm the owner, I'm taking a good hard look by the end of the season and saying, what are we going to do to salvage this? Hopefully they can go ahead and find some young players that end up moving well for them during the season, but yeah, it's just tough, man. The season basically is cooked for them, I would say.
Yeah, I honestly agree with basically everything you said. And, like, even with Jaden Daniels, like, I think I mentioned this to you before, but I feel like last year they went 12-5, but, you know, they won a lot of close games and whatnot. And I feel like Jaden Daniels personally was, like, propping up that team a lot. Not to say they don't have, like, talent, but compared to some of the other teams, I'm like, I feel like Jaden was really elevating them a lot. And, you know, next year is going to be his third year in the NFL. And you can just kind of hear that clock ticking more and more towards the end of his rookie contract. And eventually they're going to have to pay him, you know, the money that he deserves. And that's going to hinder their ability to build a team even more. So we'll see what happens. Like you said, yeah, it's going to be some interesting conversations probably.
But to your point too, you said rookie contract. They didn't want to spend money now.
Yeah.
Like Terry was ready to just basically take, they're like, oh, $30 million. It's a little too much. It's like, dude, like, so you don't want to spend money now when you have money. What's going to happen when he signs Jaden?
You don't have money. Yeah.
Because what is Jaden going to come in?
That's
exactly,
true.
Right? Yeah. Like, we're looking at each other. You guys can't see it. What do you think he's going to command?
Because Tua got, like...
That's what I'm trying to say. The market's broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Deshaun Watson, the Tua contracts. Like, the market is absolutely broken. And I love Jaden. Do I think he's worth a lot more than a lot of the other quarterbacks? Probably not. But he's going to get insane money. He's a young quarterback who has a lot of potential, due to his ability, super poised, like, a lot of good traits.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid. So, like, what are you going to do? Again, I would take a good hard look at the GM. You don't like where it's going? Get someone else. That's my personal thing with the GMs. I don't think they get enough flack lately. It's been the NFL and a lot of leagues, but especially the NFL, a lot of bad GMs doing a lot of bad things lately, and they're not getting enough flack for it. And I think this might be one of the dominoes we see fall eventually. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens there with the Commanders and just in general, like you mentioned, with a lot of teams, a lot of general managers and decision making and whatnot. Trade deadlines obviously has passed, but even free agency pickups and whatnot heading towards the playoffs. So, with that being said, we thank you guys for listening to episode 18 of the Ash Bros podcast. It's definitely amazing to be back on the podcast after a few weeks away, like we mentioned. And yeah, we're excited to keep this thing rolling. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.